Who was here last week? That message Tim shared. It is for freedom that Christ has set us what? Is
free.
So let us be free indeed and never submit again to the yoke of slavery. What a powerful truth. And I want to encourage you, if you were not here, to jump on online and check out the podcast, because Tim shared something in that message that it's really cool when you look at the scriptures and something jumps out at you, and something I know jumped out at Tim, and he shared that with us, and it's something I'd never seen before. And it was a really powerful truth to engage with. So I want to encourage you, if you weren't here last week, to check that out. But we're continuing on in the book of Galatians, and today we're going to be looking at the end of that chapter, where Paul begins this by saying it is for freedom, this emphatic declaration, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And yet now we're going to move on to the end of this section of that chapter in Galatians. But I want to invite up my friend Joe Azar, if you want to come up and read. She's going to read from Galatians chapter 5. So if you want to grab your Bibles and turn there with her to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 26.
Galatians 5, 16 to 26. The works of the flesh. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another.
Thank you so much. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Father, for your word. God, we thank you for your scriptures that teach us, Lord, about you, that teach us, Father, the truths that you have given us. And God, I pray that your Spirit, which we're reading about today, Lord, I pray that your Spirit, Father, would speak to us. I pray, Lord, that this moment would be a beautiful moment. Lead us in your truth, we pray. Amen. So here we have Paul, and he lays out before us two ways of living. But before we dig into that, I want to take a trip back in time from that moment. I want to take a trip back in time to a camping trip that happened about 1,500 years earlier. Now, I know the Good Life community, you guys love camping because our interest group for camping is entirely full. So we have an interest in camping. But I don't know about you, but there's this camping trip, this particular camping trip lasted for over 40 years. I'm not so sure I'm down for that. I might be keen on going to the lake on a weekend or doing something on a weekend, but for 40 years, camping, wandering around in the wilderness, always packing up, always moving. There's one thing I do not like in life, and that's packing up and moving, packing house and moving somewhere else. It's not fun. In fact, I think it's one of the meanest things you can ever do is ask your friends to help you move. Honestly, if they volunteer, that's fantastic. But asking them, oh, come on, that's not kind. But So we're going to step back to this moment in time where Moses is taking the children of Israel, what I call it, on this enormous camping trip. God is really taking his people on a trip through the wilderness. And they go through all these different trials and they experience these miracles and they've just been brought out of slavery. They've been brought through the Red Sea. And Moses reaches the end of this trip. And I'm kind of reminded of a school camp. I used to be a school teacher, and I remember, you know, you have this dream, you have this desire that the kids would have this wisdom imparted to them, that there would be this moment in that camp that something had changed, that something had happened that throughout that camping trip. And I remember, like, throughout the camps that I'd been on as a teacher, you know, the person who ran it, the instructor, he'd gather them all together. And he'd kind of like remind them the things that they'd learned, the things that they'd talked about, and then he'd send them out. And Moses here, he gathers the people together, thousands of people together. And this talk is found in the book of Deuteronomy, where he gathers the people together and he says these things to them. As they're preparing, they've finished their trip and they're preparing to go into the new land that they had been promised for a long time. And he says these words, he says this command in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. This command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it's not beyond your reach. It's not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey? It's not kept beyond the sea so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea and bring it to us to hear it today? No, the message is close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. And if you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land that you are about to enter and occupy. But if your hearts turn away and you refuse to listen to him, and if you're drawn away to serve and worship the other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and cursing. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing to him firmly. This is the key to your life. The translation that I have actually says this, or he is the key to your life. And if you obey and love the Lord, you will live long in the land that he swore to his ancestors to give you. There's this moment in time where Moses gathers the people together and he says, guys, I'm setting before you today life, and I'm setting before you today death. Oh, that you would choose life. What is the overall emphasis in this chat, in this talk that Moses gives the people of Israel? It's the heart of God that cries out to us, oh, humanity, that you would choose life. I love it that that he says that when we choose life, that our descendants would live. This is the key to our life. It's funny because this statement here, it just runs throughout the entire scriptures, hey. This statement here is the statement that runs throughout the entire scriptures. But Moses, it's kind of strange because in Deuteronomy 31, see, Moses knows the people's hearts. And in Deuteronomy 31:29, it says this, and It's kind of this sad moment where you've had this declaration, man, choose life. And then in Deuteronomy 31:29, he says, I know that after my death, you'll surely act corruptly and you'll turn aside from the way that I've commanded you. I know that in time to come, trouble will befall you because you will do what is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger through the work of your hands. See, Moses knew that the people, they needed a new heart. Their heart had become hard. Their heart, he knew it would become callous. He knew it would become a heart of stone. And this is once again a truth that we see woven throughout the scriptures. But then we fast forward. I love looking at the story of God. And we fast forward to this day where this prophet Ezekiel, he sees a vision. He sees a vision of what might be. And this is the vision that he sees. It's beautiful. He's in Ezekiel 36, verse 25. He sees this vision of God sprinkling water on people. It says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart. Ezekiel sees this time where God will give his children a new heart. If you contrast this with the heart that we see with the children of Israel, this heart that's hard, this heart that has become stone, we see here that I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you, so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my commands. I will put my spirit within you. Ezekiel dreams and he sees a day. It's hard for me to comprehend what Ezekiel saw in this moment. Because up until this moment, we know that the Spirit of God has dwelled in the temple. It has dwelled in a location. It's dwelled in a place. And Ezekiel here, can you imagine the joy in his heart when he sees that, no, the Spirit of God, it won't be dwelling in a temple. It won't just be dwelling in a center. It won't just be dwelling in a building. It will dwell in our hearts. Can you see the joy that he must be feeling? Because at this moment, Ezekiel is in exile. And they think that God's abandoned his people. But he gets this promise. Ezekiel, there is coming a day when the Spirit of God, I will give you a new spirit and I will put my spirit within you. And out of this spirit will come life for you, life for humanity, life for all that encounter you. This was always the plan of God, that he might dwell with his people. And I wanted to do that because this is what Galatians is talking about. This is what Paul is talking about. He's saying, don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. Why? Because Christ has put his spirit within you. He's put his spirit within you to bring forth life. And so we find ourselves in this story where Paul, too, he gives us contrasting viewpoints. It's interesting that Paul, he's a Jewish guy, and he's writing into a Jewish story, and he knows what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 30. He knows that Moses put before the people life, and he put before the people death. But there is a difference here. Can you spot the difference? There's a huge difference here because the difference is that we no longer have this heart of stone. We have a heart of flesh that's responsive and we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And I pray that today, if you have not yet known God or you have not acknowledged the Spirit of God, I pray that today you would because Christ has come that you might have life and have it abundance. The overall message of God is life. Paul sets before us these same things, life and death. He sets before us what death will look like. He says it's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. This is from the Message Bible, repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods. Magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lines. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. I think that powerfully speaks of today's age. We depersonalize people into rivals. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community, I could go on. These are the works of the flesh, and these will bring us death. These are things that will surely destroy us, and all of these will lead to destruction. But Paul, he then elaborates on what Ezekiel saw in that vision of the Spirit. He then elaborates on this, and he talks about the fruit of the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And this is the key, that the Spirit of God dwells within us. But this fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against these things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So I want to just go through these quickly. What is the fruit of the Spirit? What reveals the fruit of the Spirit? And the first thing is love. Love is the greatest ethic of the kingdom of God. The very first thing when Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit, he talks about love. Love elevates others. Love lifts others up. It gets excited when others are doing great. I encountered something when I first came to Australia, and it's something I wanna talk about. In Australia, there's this culture of the tall poppy syndrome. You know what I'm talking about? We see people doing well and we cut them down. I think if Paul was writing this letter to us, he would say that ought not to be the way that you live your lives. You should live your lives to actually encourage elevating others. This is the way of God. This is the way of the Spirit. Paul writes extensively about love, and every time I read these words, I just end up in a heap. 1 Corinthians 13, he says, love is patient, it's kind, it's not jealous or boastful. It's not proud, it's not rude, it doesn't demand its way. It's not irritable, it keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice about injustice, but it rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, it never loses faith, it's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And we're invited to choose love. We're invited to live and allow the Spirit of God to reveal its fruit in our lives through love. And maybe that's just a little reminder, when you hear others putting people down, be someone who stands up in love for others. The next fruit of the Spirit is joy. And I'm reminded of a verse that we learned a while ago when we went through and memorized some Bible verses, and it was this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. We were created and made to know and reveal the love of God, to know and reveal joy. Joy is a choice that we have. Joy is a choice that we have, and it does not mean happiness. Joy is this, it's related very closely to peace. May the God of hope fill you with all love and joy and peace as you trust in Him. We can be joyous in all things. It was full on visiting my dad in Arizona. He had a pretty negative diagnosis recently with his battle with cancer. And I don't know what he's experiencing, but I know that deep down God is working joy in his heart, because he said this to me. He said, "Daniel, I count this all joy." Where does that come from? That does not come from our flesh. That comes from God. That comes from a peace. That comes from a hope. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you can conjure up and be like, "I'm going to be joyful about this." No, it just comes out of Him. The next one is peace. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give this peace as the world gives it." He said that in John 14. And we're told in Philippians that there's this peace. There's this peace of God that transcends all understanding. It transcends circumstances. And this peace is a fruit of the Spirit. These things are all gifts from God. We're invited to choose peace. We're invited to allow the Spirit of God to reveal its fruit in our lives through peace. The next one is patience. And I often think about patience. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Anyone want to shout it out? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of patience? Cars, traffic. The first thing that comes to mind is like queues. All right, just waiting in a queue. And I feel like this is how we often think about patience here. And I'm like, is the fruit of the Spirit for me to just be waiting in a queue and be happy with that? Or is there something deeper here? Patience here isn't just about waiting in queues and not getting angry. Although that's really great, but there's something deeper that God wants to do in our hearts. And this is full on. It's the quality of long-suffering. Another version actually says long-suffering. And this is showing restraint under provocation. This is what we saw when Jesus was on trial and he held his mouth silent. This is what we saw with Jesus when they were hurling accusations at him. And he could have just been like, "Man, I just called down angels and you're all done." But Jesus showed us what it looks like to be patient. Long, patient endurance of insult. Why can we endure that though? Why can we experience that? Because of the hope that we have in Christ. Because we know our identity is in what He has done, and because we are called to the greatest ethic of the kingdom of God, which is love. James speaks of this, and Tim spoke about it a while ago. "Dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry." We choose patience and allow the fruit of God to reveal itself in our life. The next one is kindness. This is an interesting word. The Greek here is the word krestos. And I was fascinated by this. Oftentimes we kind of just think kindness as just being nice. But there's so much greater depth to kindness as well. In Matthew 11:13, Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And the word easy is the word krestos, which is kindness. My yoke is grace. This is graciousness to kindness. There's not this uptightness or I'm right and you're wrong or standing in my self-righteousness. No, there's this grace for everyone. There's this kindness, and that kindness is the fruit of the Spirit. You know what's really cool when you start going through these? You become so grateful that these are fruits of God, hey. Because what these are is these are character qualities of God. These are fruits of the Spirit. These come from Christ. These come from God our Father. These come from the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You see this over and over in the story of God, that God has revealed his kindness, his love, his patience, his peace with his creation. I'm so grateful that these are the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Peter 2:3 says that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. It's that same word there, kindness. Allow the Spirit of God to soften our hearts that we might be gracious to one another. Goodness is the next fruit of the Spirit. And this is an interesting one. It's an honesty of heart and life. That we live our lives in honesty. There's honesty in our heart and there's honesty in our life. And there's a goodness of life. And I guess the question I was asking myself here is, Daniel, do you look for the goodness around you? Do you look for the goodness in your brothers and your sisters? Do you look for that which is best? Do you look for that which is life within one another? Do we look for goodness? Because I think that if there's goodness dwelling within us, that we and the Spirit of God is working this within us, we will see the goodness in others. And it's a choice. Will we choose goodness? Will we allow the Spirit of God to reveal its fruit in our lives through goodness? Faithfulness. Hebrews 11, chapter 1, or verse 1, says this: the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust is in God. This faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them apart from the crowd. The faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift of God. By faith, we believe that there's hope for us. By faith, we believe there's hope for mankind. By faith, we believe that Christ has set us free. By faith, we believe that he is raised from the dead. By faith, we believe that the death is swallowed up in victory. By faith, we believe that we are now more than conquerors. Faithfulness. This is something that the people of Israel were tested over and over again. And God has given us his Spirit that we might have faith. There's an invitation to choose faithfulness. Allow the Spirit of God to reveal its fruit in your life to others through faithfulness. Looking at these just make me smile. The next one is gentleness. We ought not associate gentleness with weakness. Sometimes we look at these and we go, oh, these are really airy-fairy. Like, what? Gentleness? And gentleness is strength. There's an inner strength that allows us to be gentle. And I believe, once again, that comes from the Spirit of God. There's a gentleness when we know that God is with us. When we know that we have grace for one another, there's gentleness. Matthew 11:29, just a little bit further than that one before, or before it says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek. And that word there is gentle and lowly in heart. Gentleness allows others to find rest for their souls. Isn't that what we're about? We're here to welcome in the kingdom of God, to shoot open the doors of the kingdom of God, to allow others to find rest for their souls. Gentleness, the way of Jesus. We're invited to choose gentleness, to allow the Spirit of God to reveal its fruit in our life through gentleness. And the last one is self-control. And this is the virtue of the one who masters his desires and his passions. This is the quality of the one who realizes that those ways of the flesh will bring forth death. And there is another way. I pray to God to help me to live out these fruits, to help the Spirit of God to be alive in me that others might see Him. We're invited to choose self-control. And when we choose to live in the Spirit, this is the coolest part that I saw while I was going through these fruits of the Spirit. When we choose to live in the Spirit, we walk in the way of the one who has made us. We walk in the way of the one who knows what will bring us life. We walk in the way of the one who's made us, and we walk in the way of the one who knows what will bring us life, what will bring life to humanity. And we walk in the way of the one who knows what it truly looks like to be human. How cool is that? This is what it looks like to be human. If you often ask someone today, what does it mean to be human? People would say probably some terrible and nasty things, but this is what Christ has made us to be like. This is who we were created to be. And this is what the Spirit of God will work within us. But I have two questions that we can consider and maybe chat about through life groups or chat about amongst yourselves. But these are the questions that I kind of asked myself at the end of this. Do I want this fruit in my life? Do I really want to be patient? Do I want to be gentle? Do I want to be kind? Do I want to have self-control? Do I want to have faithfulness? Do I want to be patient? Imagine if God's church was known for these fruits, for this fruit. I do believe that people would taste Jesus everywhere. The second question is this: do we trust that these things are good? See, patience. Sometimes we think revenge is better. But the fruit of the Spirit says, no, revenge, that's actually ironically choosing death again. Patience is choosing life. And I want to challenge, I don't know, as I was reading this, I was really challenged as a man. Because some of these qualities, we go, oh, they're not manly. It's who we were created to be, male and female. Imagine if Christian men were gentle, they were kind, they were patient. It's who we were created to be. So in your life groups, have a chat about that. Are these Are these things good? Do you really think these will bring life? Maybe dream about how they can bring life in your life groups. Maybe dream about how they can bring life in your life and the lives of those around you. See, the fruit of the Spirit is, it's not a list to tick off. It's not this list that we have on our fridge and we go, I was patient today, yes. I was kind today, yes. I mean, that's great, but that's not what it is. It's not this list to tick off. It's Paul setting before us again. He says, man, I believe that Paul, if he's here at this moment, he's gathering the church of Galatia together. It's like Moses was in Deuteronomy. He's gathering them together and he says, guys, I set before you today life and I set before you today death. I pray that you choose life. I pray that you'd choose the way of Jesus. I pray that you would choose the Spirit. I pray that you wouldn't go back to the things that will hold you captive. Hang on to Christ. And today we gather around these scriptures and around this question. Today we too have two ways before us of living. One that is sure to bring destruction, and one that will bring us life. Why don't we stand together? If you've never chosen Jesus, if you've never taken hold of this truth that Christ has set you free, I want to invite you into this space. Maybe you've been coming along to church for a long time, but you've never asked His Spirit to enter you. And that sounds a bit weird, but allow His Spirit to be your way of living. And I want to encourage you to do that. And maybe this is a reminder for you. Man, the way I've been living has been bringing destruction. Allow the Spirit to guide us, the authority of Christ to lead us, to guide us into life. But let's pray together. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. God, I thank you for your scriptures, Father, that teach us and lead us into truth. And God, I thank you for your Spirit, that, Lord, you no longer just dwell in temples, Father, made by hands, Lord, but you dwell in hearts. And God, today we repent, Lord, of living by the works of the flesh, God. We ask that we would be a church, Lord. We ask that we would be a people, Father, that would live out your Spirit. God, we ask that your Spirit would work within us, Father. We ask, Lord, that we would be people, Father, who choose love, Lord. We ask, Father, we'd be people who would choose joy, who would choose patience, kindness, gentleness, Father. God, we ask that your Spirit would bring forth faithfulness within us, Lord. And God, we ask that we'd be a people who would choose self-control. And God, we thank you so much that you've not abandoned us, that you've given us your Spirit to lead us and to guide us in your way of living in life. And God, I pray for those who don't yet know you, Father. God, I pray that your Spirit would become alive in them. And they would know that they're loved. And Father, that you have a plan for their life, a purpose for their life. There's goodness ahead of them, Lord. We give you thanks in your name. Amen. Amen.